Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift rank and hanging with the people you just did battle with should never be taken away.
But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the school of hard knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan Claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. That's loud, ladies and gentlemen. On Love Foods Live, it's Thursday, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, 10 p.m. on the East Coast. And the Good Brothers are live and coming in your ear, Jeffy. Exactly. Yep, that's what I said.
We're back at it.
That's what it's got to be. It's your boy, Chef Plum, Chef Dan, coming at you live right here. Plum Love Foods Live. And, of course, we're joined by the effervescent, Jeffy, because I think you're bubbly.
I am a bubbly guy, aren't I?
A little bit. I mean, you can be kind of bubbly, right? I mean, is that weird? Should we not say bubbly, Dan?
No, he's definitely bubbly. I call him the percolator.
Oh, I wish I knew you were going to say it. I had the song. It's time for the percolator. It's time for the percolator. That song was the shit back in the day. No? You guys aren't with me
First
on that?
Well, I have never heard that song in my
what?
Life, Virginia.
You've never
I'm
heard
sorry.
It's time for the percolator?
That sounds like a Virginia club theme.
It was definitely similar.
Just popping down on them Virginia clubs. You were down there like, time for the percolator. There's probably a dance that went with it.
How do you spell percolator? Percolator. There it is. It's time for the percolator. It's time for the percolator. It was like.
Nope. Guys, listen. I'm pretty sure if there was a song called The Percolator, I would remember it.
It was the jam. I can't believe you're not down with this. You don't remember the song at all? Really?
All I remember is Whoop, There It Is.
What? That's all you remember?
Well, that's the only song that I remember that sounds like The Percolator.
Tag team. Back again.
Yeah, tech to the brick. Let's begin. Party on for the people. Yeah, I know that one.
We're doing some throwbacks today, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that just came from.
The percolator. Hey.
Oh, here we go. Is it time for the percolator?
There it is. There it is. What? It's time for the percolator. Yep, yep.
It's time for the percolator.
I feel like that's like an EDM song. It's not really like...
There we go.
I just see Jeff.
Dude, I got my glow sticks. Hold on. I just dropped my X tab.
No.
I'm dancing, bro. I'm dancing. This is hot. Oh.
It's time for the percolator. Dude, I don't listen. I would so much rather be able to play it through the system here, but I guess I had the wrong thing selected. But anyway, how the fuck did we get here? Why are we talking about the percolator?
I don't know how that just happened. Well, that's my new nickname, apparently.
Jeffy the percolator. Yeah, it works pretty good.
I'm in the house percolating.
It's a good name. It's a good name. I like that name a lot.
I'm bubbling, son. You already know what it is.
Bubbling.
You already know what it is.
You already know what it is. We got a fun show tonight, boys. We're going to be joined by Chef Chris Spear from the Chefs Without Restaurants group and podcast. Looking forward to chatting with him very, very soon. Jeff, you've been talking about this guy for a little bit now.
Dude, love this podcast. You know, as a private chef, I mean, we'll get into it when he gets on, but, you know, I'm alone a lot. And I came from, you know, catering and running restaurants and then going into a kitchen where it's just me and like one other person. It was like nuts. And then I found this guy's podcast and it was like so cool because it was like a whole world of people who were just like me, who were like working, trying to figure it out. A lot of DIY stories, a lot of like hustle. It's everything that we love. I'm excited that he's on here and everyone gets to hear his story.
Yeah, I am too, man. This guy was great. I talked to him here in person for a little bit before the show, and I can't wait. I think he's cut from the same cloth that we are. Dan, I think it kind of falls into you too a little bit. I mean, not that the whole without restaurants, because I mean, you do run a high-end grocery store, but still, it's not a restaurant, but you have that, I don't know, maybe it's not the same kind of camaraderie that you have in a restaurant, but you do have a little camaraderie there, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love the idea. I think anytime you're alone, when you're a chef, you kind of have to be above your subordinates, and you're always trying to you try to keep things business oriented, so you can't have that personal relationship.
You can't get high with his dishwasher.
Sometimes you need those people on the outside that you can connect with, and you're on the same level and you have the same interests and you understand food and you can kind of like bounce ideas off of. And I'm all about that. I love that. That's great.
Do you have a favorite dishwasher to get high with?
Hell yeah.
Jeffy, you're talking to Dan.
Oh, sorry.
I choose not to get high with him anymore, but yes. I have to maintain.
Allegedly, yeah. he got high with him once, maybe. A long time ago.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe allegedly. Well, we're going to find out soon. We're going to talk to our goal. We're not going to find out about getting high. We're going to find out about the whole camaraderie thing. I mean, maybe Chris can tell us about the dude you got high with. I don't know. It's all the same thing. Listen, it's all little vitamins here. I don't know if where he lives it's legal. Where we live, it's legal, so it's not a big deal. No one fucking even cares anymore. But yeah, so good times there. Also, a great episode of Restaurant Road Trip on CT Public, aka PBS, came out today. We're at Washington Prime, a great restaurant in Norwalk. It's a great one, man. I love Washington Prime. It's a great restaurant, great steakhouse. There's a massive steak in there, and I may or may not decide to do my daily workout with it. So it's worth checking out. Check out at ctpublic.org/restaurant road. What the fuck is wrong with me, Jeffy? Why can't I do the plug? ctpublic.org/road trip. Check it out there. All the episodes are listed, and it's definitely worth watching. And I think the next TV special is July 4th weekend. So I think it actually airs the same day as our Rocco Despirito episode coming up is going to air.
The 7th?
Yeah,
the 7th.
I think so.
Nice.
So you get lots of stuff. You could watch the TV show, and then you could come listen to the show with us talking to Rocco, and then you could go and say Merry fucking Christmas, Happy Birthday America for that week.
Happy Birthday America.
It's great. Is that when America was born?
I don't know. Isn't that what we're doing? Don't we have a Birthday America on July 4th?
I guess we do. It's Independence Day. That's when we declaimed independence, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, from all your people.
We're like, fuck those British bastards.
Yeah, Jeffy's British.
Fuck you. Dude, my mom is not British.
Allegedly.
She's Irish-German.
All right, well. Hey, speaking of that, I'm trying to have a July 4th, and I'm going to keep you guys all up to date. I'm trying to have a July 4th with the fam, because I'm not working. It's the first July 4th off to work.
What?
I'm going to have a July 4th week with the family where I don't make any burgers or any dogs.
Nice.
And we're serving ketchup on all of our hot dog sandwiches and our...
No burgers and no dogs.
Nope.
What are you going to serve?
No hot dog sandwiches, no hamburger sandwiches. We're going to hopefully do pizza and a lot of steak.
Mmm. I like all these things.
Yeah.
I love steak. You know, speaking of pizza...
Nope.
I found out that...
We're talking about pizza, but go ahead.
Well, you said pizza. I'm sorry, but I found out that I think you're all going to be disappointed that the pizza that you know it in America... is actually we have Wichita. Sorry.
What happened, Dan? Sorry.
Wichita, Kansas.
What?
Yo.
I didn't buzz you when you fucked up on.
I don't know what he's talking fucking, about.
I don't know what he's talking about. Something about pizza in Wichita, Kansas.
What?
Which you know is
shut up, dummy.
Lie.
That's not true.
Yo, Pizza Hut, man. They really made pizza. Yo, people on the other side of
the country. What are you doing? Stop talking.
They didn't know what pizza was. I was devastated. I felt like you guys needed to know. Like, there was people in the 1940s that had no idea what pizza was.
Okay.
Like, no idea.
I know. That's why pizza was invented as we know it today, delivery-style pizza in Connecticut.
What?
In Connecticut.
What?
New Haven.
What?
Connecticut.
What? I can't agree on that anymore. As I found out new information. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like,
Pizza Hut was not the... All right, we can't... No, this is not the time. This is not the time or the place.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Right.
I'm sorry.
I can't help it. I was just devastated. I had to tell share with my friends. It's fine. I'll cry to myself. I'm mute.
This is terrible.
That's it.
News.
Go write in your journal. News.
We're going to take a quick break, you friends. And when we get back, we're going to be joined by Chef Chris Spear from Chefs Without Restaurants. We're excited to talk to him. Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live with Chef Jeffy, Chef Plum, and Chef Dan. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word is not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com.
Yeah. Hey, Plum, you know where good food starts?
Oh, let me think for a second. The refrigerator.
Nah, dog.
Yo, tell me where, Derek. Oh, wait, let me guess. Derek, are you talking about The Pantry, the number one gourmet specialty food shop in Fairfield, Connecticut? At The Pantry, their main goal is to provide customers with superior food choices, along with the legendary customer service you'd expect in an upscale market. Derek, The Pantry in Fairfield, they got it all.
That's right, dog. Amazing, award-winning pastries, spectacular prepared food choices, amazing deli and salad bar. All sorts of great stuff like top quality meats, seafood, all them things that you're not going to get down at Chickatois.
Wow, I'm going to tell you something right now, Derek. You're awfully excited about this. You know what sets The Pantry apart from the competition, Derek? Do you know?
I don't know.
Great customer service, dog. Great food. Shit. And they're great employees. Don't forget to check out the take-home meals section because one of my favorites, the Duroc pork chops, yo, these things are amazing. They're on the next level. They're like muffins and giraffe meat.
Yo, listen, do yourself a favor, dog. Get your ass down to The Pantry, son. 1580 Post Road, Fairfield, Connecticut. Good food starts here.
I don't know if we want to tell people to get their ass down there, but yeah, The Pantry, give them a shout out. It's awesome. Fucking nailed it. Yeah, coming back here, Plum Love Foods Live, with apparently the old Castlevania NES theme. What is this song?
This is amazing. Mm-hmm.
This is crazy talk. What is happening? We'll give it a second. Let's see what happens.
Let's go.
Oh, right when this beat drops, that's when the show comes back. Plum Love Foods Live, it's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeffy, Chef Dan, coming at you live here on a Thursday night. Excited to be hanging out and talking to you. Hope you're having a fantastic week. Hope your weekend's about to kick off and be amazing. We're looking forward to hanging out here and talking to you. We got a good guest on tonight, Jeff. I'm excited about this guy.
Hell yeah. Great guest. Great host of a great podcast. Got to check him out. Chefs Without Kitchens. Great dude. Really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him right now. The man joining us that we're speaking of, ladies and gentlemen, just so you are aware, is the owner of Perfect Little Bites, an in-home catering personal chef business based out of Frederick, Maryland. And he's the host of the Chefs Without Restaurants podcast. He also took this the podcast was originally a group on Facebook, Jeffy, that then became this whole network of chefs that he's working on, too. This man's been in the business about 30 years. He's worked all over the place from upscale dining to corporate dining to now working in the private sector because I have his family life. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program our new friend, Chef Chris Spear.
Woo!
Yeah! Yeah! Attaboy, Chef!
How you doing?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Dude, we're excited to hang out with you, excited to talk to you and learn a little bit more about you. Jeffy's been a fan of the podcast for a little bit. You've made a new fan in me as well, checking it out. So thanks for taking the time to hang out with us here on a Thursday night at 10 o'clock. I know it's late.
Yeah, I was saying to my wife, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm getting old. I remember when I used to go out, you know, leaving the house at this time, stay out till 2 in the morning. Now I'm like, shit, my work day started at like 6. Well, my day started at like 6 o'clock when I got up with the kids and everything. This morning, you're like 10 o'clock. Yeah. Well, you know, I can still hang.
We do
don't
this,
worry about
yeah.
Me.
Every once in a while, right? That's how you got to do it. We started doing this at this time. Well, originally when I did it was because, you know, in my brain it was like chefs cleaning their station, listening in their ears while they're cleaning the station. That's where it came from.
I love it.
And we've had some people, you know, talk to us about that and say, yeah, I'm putting you on while I'm, you know, wiping down or cleaning up and. You know, just listen to you guys babble about nothing. And I'm like, dude, I wish you would tell my wife that because she doesn't want to hear any of it.
I'm really working here, right? That's what you got to say. It's 10 o'clock. I'm actually doing some work.
That's it, man. Hey, listen, man, I love what you've done with the Chefs Without Restaurants. Your story is pretty cool, man, and how it got to that point. Give us the abridged version, man. Talk about how you went from, you know, going private and missing the camaraderie. We're talking a little bit about that in the intro. Talk about that a little.
Yeah. So I've never worked in a restaurant. The intro of my podcast is I've been in food. This year will be 30 years. I'm going to be 46 in a month and 16. I started working, but it was Burger King. Wasn't fancy. I mean, so maybe that was a restaurant.
Listen, everyone's
got to start somewhere.
Right. Mine was Taco Bell. If you're getting a paycheck for cooking food, you're cooking.
Yeah.
I'm an alumni.
But I never worked in like a really nice restaurant. So I went to culinary school. I went to Johnson & Wales. I got a 4-year bachelor's. When I was there, I thought I wanted to work in a nice restaurant. I applied to go work for Charlie Trotter when I got out of culinary school. I'm sure I would have hated that, knowing what I know about him and me now. But I worked kind of all over the country, did a bunch of things. We can get into that. But getting into the personal chef thing is, you know, I always kind of wanted – I like the idea of opening a restaurant and then reality sets in like, I don't know, I don't have $1 billion. I don't want to be married to it. But that was kind of always in my head. So 15 years ago, I was working at a catering company and they would have people all the time just call and say, hey, you know, it's my wife's and I's anniversary. Will you come do a dinner for two? And, you know, the guys at the catering company couldn't be bothered with that. We're doing hundreds of people for an event and tons of, you know, big events. But one day they just said to me like, hey, would you want to do this? You can keep the money. It'll be good PR for us, you know, represent our business. But if you want to do this, you know, feel free to take these gigs. And I started doing it and I really enjoyed it. And I said to my wife, like, is this a thing? Could I be essentially like a caterer cooking for like two people up to maybe like 20 and, you know, super low overhead, you know, not having to have a full-time kitchen, not having to have staff and all the bullshit that comes with that and just kind of thought like, this is my way of having a restaurant. Like I can make really awesome food. I can plate it the way I want to plate it without the crazy, you know, overhead and cost. So I did it just a couple times when I was at that catering company. And then that was outside of Philly. And then I moved down to Frederick, Maryland, which is kind of like DC, Baltimore area. Mm-hmm. And I just started kind of tinkering with that. And, you know, this was a great market for it. And I said,
hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm going to figure this thing out. And I spent about 7 years kind of just like on and off doing it to kind of see if I liked it or not. And 6 years ago, I left the job that I had been at for a decade to take it full time.
All right, good for you, man. Good for you. And I same thing, 2006, I took my first private client and I've never looked back. It's I make way more money. I have way more quality of life. It's allowed me to do so many other fun things. And you know, Jeffy can tell you the same thing, man. He's been working private for a very long time. Same kind of story, right, Jeffy? From the catering company to
going private. That's why I connected with the podcast. I feel like I listened to one, and he talks about that in the intro. Like he says a little bit about like not going here and like needing the camaraderie and how he started it. And I was like, I need the camaraderie. I'm starved from camaraderie.
Yes,
I'm starved
yes,
for
I
like.
Mean, when you don't have people around to talk to, right? You know, my last job before I did this was I was working at a retirement community, a Sodexo run kitchen, you know, and I was the executive chef exec two there.
That's a good job.
And I had, you know, we had a staff of 125 in the food service department alone, you know, like it was ridiculous. I had chef managers. I had like two essentially like CDCs, two sous. And like all these people, and you could bounce ideas off and just like have a good time. And while that, some of that was like a pain in the ass, like having a staff that big, overnight, literally, I left and I had no one. And just like every day, you're like, I guess today's the day. Here's my prep list and what I do. And it's like, I really want to connect with people. How do you, you know, continue to connect with people who, you know, are in the food world, maybe share your same struggles now that I'm in kind of a different world?
You know, just really quick, I want to talk about those corporate jobs for 2 seconds, like Sodexo, Aramark, those sort of things. I mean, I feel like when I graduated culinary school back in 2003, they were really making a push for, you know, people with degrees, people who had been, you know, have some, you know, culinary experience, and they pretty good paying job, great benefits. They, you know, they teased you with good hours, and I think they got a lot of great chefs working for those companies because of that sort of stuff. And I'm imagining, and I'm talking like the entry level chef manager type positions. You know, when you're coming out of culinary school, it's not a bad gig to get into. A little bit of creativity there, but for you as the exec too, there, I mean, that's a good gig.
It is, but you know, I essentially started out of culinary school there and never looked back because you know I've said Johnson & Wales was not cheap, and I came out of it. My student loan repayment was $404 a month for 10 years, right? And I graduated in 98. So, like, I'm going to places that are like, oh, even with a degree, it's like, oh, we'll start you at, you know, $27,000 a year salary or whatever, you know, like $9 an hour. And I applied at some jobs and just like, I was like, I don't know, I can't live on that. And this retirement community was like, oh, we're going to give you 2 weeks vacation and a 401k that will match. And
you're home,
you know,
at the
you
latest
don't have,
by 8 o'clock. Like you
want to, you have to work one weekend a month. And I was like, shit, like, yes, I will do that. And, it just kind of was like a path I was on. And then I moved cross country and I was looking for jobs. I moved to Seattle and I got out there and it's like, no, I'm going to start over. I'm going to do restaurants. And it just like didn't work out there. I didn't find any place that was a good fit. And I found myself in another retirement community, ultimately cooking for people like Kenny G's grandma. So Kenny G's grandma and I got pretty tight out there.
That's awesome.
She was living at this retirement. It was a Jewish retirement community, kosher kitchen. I had never run a kosher kitchen before. I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of been my path. They pay really well. The benefits are great. But, you know, some of them are better than others. Some of them give you more creativity than others. And I've really worked at places that were, I mean, you know, my last job, we were butchering heritage breed Berkshire pigs from a local farm. We had a cocktail program. I was making vinegar. We did sous vide, you know, like really cool stuff.
Out of retirement.
So it felt like we were at the, you know, it was like working at like a country club. It wasn't like working at a nursing home.
Those high end retirement communities are country clubs. I mean,
definitely.
Face it. I mean, it's like games, bars. Those freaky old people are just, you know, double dutching back and forth into everybody's bedroom.
Dude, that's what I've heard. They get freaky
Let me tell you what, the woman to man ratio, like I'm optimistic if something happens to my wife before me, because like a guy goes into one of those places, you go in, it's like all the ladies see that single guy like, oh, look at the new guy on the block, because it's like a 10 to 1 ratio. So
yeah,
for anyone who doesn't know how that works.
That's why I do yoga.
Fucking
God.
Jesus. Well, just you know, still talking without being in the restaurant. Cause I think it's really interesting to talk about careers that you don't have to work in a restaurant to be a chef. And I think that we talk about that a lot on this program. And you're probably a great guy to kind of speak to that. But you know, our own chef Dan here on the program, he is the executive chef at an incredibly high end, very very nice grocery store in a well to do area. In Lower Fairfield County, it's Fairfield County, and he does some amazing food there. Like, his stuff is amazing, but it's not a restaurant. You know, sure, he has long days, but for the most part, you know, goes to work in the morning, comes home in the afternoon, and a lot of benefits, makes good money, has perks. Like, it still has that creativity. Dan, I'm speaking to you, man. You can vouch for yourself here.
Yeah, no, you're right on. It's great. I left the restaurant business because this just was so much more appealing, having a young family and starting off and having the ability to be home by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock the latest. It was like, this is fantastic. It's like this, that's, you can't find that in a restaurant. Restaurants are you're working 70, 80 hours a week, and it's nonstop, and it's little to no money, and it's you have to love every single minute of it, or you're gonna regret every moment. So
it's just another option, another avenue that people don't think about, chef. I mean, that's you know, I think it's a cool option.
And some of it was ego. Like, I'd like to say that I don't really think I have a crazy ego, but something about me, like, I think when you hear over and over that you're not a chef, or you, maybe I put that on myself a little bit, right? Like, you say to someone, they say, what do you do? And you say, I'm a chef. And they get really excited. Like, Where do you work? And I say, oh, I work for Sodexo at a retirement community. You can almost like see their face be like, oh, you know, and you're just like, no, it, like, it's really awesome. And I get really excited and try and tell them all the things I do. But like, they want to hear that I work for some like Michelin restaurant or something, you know, and it's like, I kind of wanted to highlight, you know, jumping to the podcast, and, you know, it took a little while to get there, but I love the idea of highlighting people doing really awesome stuff. Like, no, there's probably more chefs not working in restaurants. Like, when you add up all the institutional dining and the grocery stores and all that kind of stuff, there's probably more of us than restaurant chefs out there. And I really wanted to highlight that. And also, you know, like, if you're a young kid who loves cooking and is maybe thinking about a career, like, realizing that there's a lot of stuff you can do out there that's not, you know, being a line cook or a chef in a restaurant.
100%, man. I couldn't agree with you more. I think you're like, nail on the head. Like, it, you don't have to go work in a restaurant. There's so many other options, so many other things you could do out there. And the weird part is, a lot of those options, you probably make more money before the pandemic. Now, since the pandemic's hit, I'm actually troubleshooting at a restaurant in Philadelphia right now, helping a friend out. And hiring is just absolutely absurd right now. I'm not sure, when you do private gigs, what your stories are. We'll talk about that in a second. But hiring is just ridiculous now. I think the pandemic, a lot of people left the industry because they went and, you know, went to work for Amazon or something like that, where they get paid decent. Same reason why Dan works in a grocery store and I work private and you do your thing. Like, it's you know, oh, you're gonna give me a decent wage. I only have to work for, you know,
we did it to ourselves though.
Yeah.
Like, not,
oh, absolutely.
Like, so two of my favorite people in the world, who are the best people, they've worked for me, have left the industry. And I'm really sad about that. Like, they were both like sous chefs who worked for me. And one of them, after I left, he left and got a job somewhere else. He was furloughed twice. Like, he was working at a company and they laid him off during COVID, you know, probably understandably. And then they hired him back and then they laid him off again. And then they wanted him back. And he's like, no, I'm done. And now he's cleaning pools. Like, this is probably the most talented person I know.
Wow.
And then a guy who worked with me, he started there at 14 and at 25 had worked his way up to basically like a chef de cuisine. And he's out doing something else too, because he was a salaried manager. And when they had staffing issues, they basically burned him out. And he was working, you know, like 85 hours a week and all that stuff. And he's like, why do I need to do this? So, you know, I understand it, but it sucks because we lost a lot of good people in the food industry.
Lots, tons of them. And a lot of them aren't coming back, you know?
I mean,
they're just not coming back. They're.
Can you blame some of them though? I mean, like, the pay is shit. The hours are long. They get abused and fucking, you're told it's a family, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, oh, sorry, you're furloughed and sorry this. I mean, there's not a lot of companies did the right thing by a lot of these fucking poor employees. And
yeah, but chef,
I don't blame them.
Chef said it, Jeffy. We did it to ourselves.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. My friend's making more money cleaning pools and gets weekends off and, you know, better benefits.
Like, I mean, he smokes joints all day long while he's cleaning pools.
You know, why would you go back? I mean, you know, you find a way to be creative. Those people just cook at home. They just make really baller dinners for their families and like find fulfillment that way.
But you're absolutely right.
I mean, you know, content creation now is real. That could be a whole nother rabbit hole we go down. Like these people who are just like, no, fuck it. I'll make food on Instagram and do brand deals, you know?
Yeah, look at our buddy Peter, Ryan there. Ryan Peters, he's killing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Peter's Pasta, he's destroying it, man.
I've known Ryan since, I feel like, for like 10 years now. He was on my podcast last year, like after he had hit his million. Maybe is it like 4 million or something like that? Crazy. Yeah, but like, yeah, exactly. Another guy knows how to cook, knows his stuff.
Best.
And he's, you know, like, I'm going to make pasta and do this. Like, he's making pasta at every sports stadium and every single place in the whole world. Absurd. Like, who doesn't want to travel around doing that?
It's absurd. I mean, it's absurd. It's changed. Food has definitely changed from a social media standpoint. It's kind of made it a thing, like you said, from content creation. And I mean, listen, I host a TV show that's about food, and I host a radio show that is broadcast in, you know, all of the Northeast up here in New York. And it's about food, and it's because I can talk about food, and you're right. It's content creation is definitely a whole thing, and it's pretty remarkable when you see how much has changed. Dude, I think when you said that there's more chefs not in the restaurants than are, I started thinking, I was like, could that be possibly be right? And the more we keep talking, I think you're actually right, man. You know, I just think about it. Like, I know tons of great chefs who are caterers or private chefs or, you know, absolutely. There's tons of them.
Yeah, I mean, when you look like just at the contract food service, you know, having worked at Sodexo, it's like we're doing retirement communities, you're doing businesses, you're doing schools alone. Yeah. So it's like, look at every single university in the country. They're probably, you know, they've got a food program, every retirement community, all these corporate offices, they all have like in-house food service departments that have probably, you know, dozens to hundreds of people in their department.
Wow. Jeffy, I never thought about it like that. Have you?
Yeah, no. I never thought of that.
That's good.
But I'm really stuck on like having to pay $400 a month right out of culinary school.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man? Like as a young cook when I was 20 years old, I was barely making $400 a week.
And this was 20 years ago. I graduated in 98. So think about that. Like, you know.
That's when I was coming up in kitchens too. That's exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like
crazy.
I was making stugats. It was terrible. You
know? My cooking job in college, I was making $7.50 an hour. Like when I graduated, like that's how much I was getting paid, was $7.50 an hour when I was in culinary school. You know, and I didn't get that big a bump when I graduated, which is the sham of like, oh, come get a culinary degree and you're going to start making $100,000 out of culinary school. You know, working at Disney or whatever they're, you know, pushing.
Yeah. Absolute sham. But you know what a brunoise is, don't you?
Yes. I know all these things I've never done. Have I ever used a tornado knife to like cut a potato like a weird shaped football? Never.
I had a chef that used to make me do that shit over and over and over. And it was the most painful thing in the world.
What?
To put next to a duck leg, that's like so a stupid. Comfy duck leg in like a bowl. It was like more like a... He was like a Hungarian guy, so it was like a sauerkraut with like smoke. I don't know. It was fucking weird, and it was like a poached in butter, tournée potato.
I mean, you're just saying a lot of words, Jeffy.
Just a single potato, one tournée potato.
On the plate, because it was like a plate with like sauerkraut and like beans and like it was kind of like a cassoulet, but like a Hungarian cassoulet, and they put like one potato on there. It was like almost like a garnish. I don't know.
Dan,
but this is back when it was a twist of parsley, you know, on top of everything.
Dan, we've been talking for a long time here. We haven't plugged our boy yet, our new friend, Chef Chris Spear. You want to throw the plug out for him?
Absolutely. Chris Spear, check him out. Check out Chefs Without Restaurants on IG, chefswithoutrestaurants.com, his podcast, doing big things. Check out Perfect Little Bites. And perfectlittlebites.com for his he can do whatever party you want, up to 20 people. It's a nice low number, keeping it nice and oh my god.
Yeah, let him go. Don't save him. don't throw him a life raft. Let him go.
This is where it gets good. This is where the plug
is where the fire happens right here. Magic.
You were doing great, and then you spun out, but keep going.
You should have stopped when you were ahead.
Intimate,
you just kept
intimate.
Getting.
I was looking for intimate. Nice little
there
intimate.
You go. Intimate.
Okay.
20 people having a good time, enjoying my man Chris Spear, hooking it up.
He's still going.
Yeah, he's hooking it up. Then everybody.
Listen,
I got to get you on my PR team.
Yeah, see, look, you can't have him. This is the best plug man in the business.
Best plug man ever.
Well, Chris, let's talk about it for a second, man, because as a private chef, I love how you talk about you do from like 2 to 20. And you know, obviously, you'd do more, I'm sure, if somebody reached out and talked to you, you'll figure that out. But, dude, I wouldn't touch a group of two with a 10-foot pole.
So I've really moved that up. The absolute minimum is going to be 4, and then we're starting at least $200 a head.
Yeah.
And that has to be like really local to me, and you have to be either a previous customer or a strong referral from a friend.
Smart man.
Because, you know, like I built my business on that. Like, you know, you're trying to build a client base. So it's like, yeah, I'll go out and do like a dinner for two. It's $200. Like, then there's food costs. I probably made only $100. Say, now it's just like, I can't do that. You know, I mean, You can't.
Jeffy used to yell at me because I wouldn't charge enough.
Oh yeah, I'm a huge proponent of chefs getting what they deserve, and I also,
I mean, I don't
think that
Chris, I don't give a couch.
I'll do
now.
Parties of two.
I don't give a couch for less than $1,500. I just don't, not anymore.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I do. It's like if there's a party of two, someone calls me and they say, "Oh, I want a party of two." I'm like, "Absolutely, I have a $1,500 minimum." And like, you know, I will give you the best party two you've ever had. It'll be super fun. But you know, whatever you want to eat, let's talk.
Yeah,
and I pass over the cost
to do that, because I think that's tough, and you have to have the chops to back that up too, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely. That's one of the things I talk about with people all the time. It's like, well, yeah, like I've also been cooking for a long time, so I can get up there and charge for some of those bigger parties. If you're starting out,
build that clientele.
Your top's going to be a little lower. Right.
But I think it's regional too, though, bro. Like, you know, we live like New York, Hamptons, like you can charge a little bit more.
Well, I get that Northern Virginia money. You know, we're in one of the
top
per capita. Yeah. D.C., hey, Northern Virginia. You get into like the
I'm from Richmond, Virginia, man. That's where I grew up. So I'm very, very familiar with the area.
Which is, you know, the hard thing is that means I have to travel a little more where I am in Frederick. Like, it used to be farm country, and like people still don't know what I do as a thing. Like, as all the marketing I've been doing. I've been doing this for 11 years and people are still like, "You come to my house and cook dinner? What's something like that cost?" And then you put out some numbers and they're like, you know, I had to join the Chamber of Commerce down in Alexandria, which is like an hour plus from me. Just, you know, to start networking with those people, like, it's worth the drive down there if I'm going to make, you know, $2,000-$3,000 in a night, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But this is what we're talking about before, you know, which is why this is an option for people. Like, you know, there's not a restaurant in the country you're going to go make $2,000 or $3,000 in a night in. It's just not going to happen.
No, not at all.
It's just not going to happen.
Not even in a week. Like, when I look at my salary, it's like, I don't think I ever made that in a week, you know?
Yeah. I mean, some people do now because it's changed a little bit. But, you know, I think, if you're just a line cook, I don't know. If you're a great cook, there's so many different gigs out there. So talk about how you do get gigs, man. How do you advertise yourself? How do you get your name out there to people?
Yeah. Social media is huge now. I'm a early adopter of a lot of that things. I mean, I set up my website, Perfect Little Bites, like a food blog. Like 15 years ago, like Perfect Little Bites, the name was the name of the blog before it was the name of the business. Mm-hmm. And it was
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just like putting out content. Like before that was a real thing, it was like, yeah. You know, I was following blogs like Ideas in Food. You know, back then, like there was a couple food blogs. I was like, it's like, that's what I want to do. It's like Alex and Aki became friends. I've known them for a while. It's like I kind of modeled a lot of my business after what they did, because they did a lot of private consulting. They did, you know, workshops. And I was very open about the fact that I was like kind of mimicking a lot of what they were doing.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, old days. I spent through some money down the toilet getting on like Thumbtack to acquire some clients. You can build a customer base. It was easier back then. Now they have like this weird price bidding structure that it's way more expensive. So, you know, I had the advantage of being early on some of those platforms. Now it's just like pumping out content, right? Like, and you don't have to do new stuff. I have 15 years of pictures. It's like, let me go through an old hard drive and pull out some photos. And what am I going to do for kind of like a photo dump this week? And people don't even know it's not new stuff.
That's
necessarily
a good idea right there.
So the big thing, personal chef thing, biggest tip is Airbnbs have been huge for me. I started to notice all these people were coming to me who had booked at an Airbnb. Okay. So it depends on where you live. It doesn't really work, I found, in a city. Like if you're in like New York City, people are going to stay in Airbnb and they're going to want to go to restaurants. But I'm getting these people like bachelorette parties mm-hmm. who book in Virginia wine country, and you get a dozen of them and they want to go get tipsy and have a limo take them to the winery all day and come back and not deal with going back out to a restaurant, and they would hire me. So cut out the middleman. You need to start going directly. Like I spent hours every week just looking up all the Airbnbs, Vrbos in the area and trying to get contact information for them. And just like I call it hand-to-hand combat, right? Like emails, DMs. Like I put together a media kit and send it out to them with, you know, basically like a pitch deck, like a 3-page with like sample menus and
smart.
Pricing and photos
fucking
and stuff and
smart.
Saying, hey, I noticed you've got a, you know, I'm getting a ton of business from your customers who are hiring me directly. Like, could you share this, you know, media kit with, you know, either on your website
potential
or with people when
or,
the, yeah. potential customers. Also, it's a value add for them. You know, my wife and I Absolutely. Love food. And when we're looking to go somewhere, one of the first things is we look and see where can we eat. And if we're looking at like some town in the middle of nowhere and I'm like, all there is a pizza shop, it goes on the pass list, right? So I try and say to them, like, it would be good to have this information on your website. Like, maybe people aren't booking your place because there's nowhere to eat. So that was huge for me. And I can say
well,
that
sometimes they have those little like binders even like at the house, like here, welcome
yeah,
to our
house.
Yeah,
but by then that's too late because that's what like people okay. do, right? Is they have – I go in all these houses that I've been booked for and I go in and like my card is on the counter. Like you needed to book me 3 months ago, you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
you got to be so much further ahead. And that's why I went right to these owners saying like, can you put something on the website? Can you email us out when people book to stay there?
Are
and
they responsive
so much
to that,
of my business.
Owners?
Super, because they see it as an added thing that they're
right.
being able to provide their customers. And you don't have to do it a lot, but a couple times I've gone out and done like comp dinners. You know, just go
sure.
if they want to put their name on it and say, we recommend this guy. They want to know what the food's like. Nobody's ever asked me, but people who are on the fence, I've thrown out there and said, hey, you know, I'll come cook dinner for you and your husband and go out and do, you know, a 3-course dinner for them. And I get business like almost every day. I'm getting a referral from an Airbnb in my area.
That's awesome.
That's a fucking smart idea right there, man. Jeffy, we never
Super
thought of that,
smart.
Doing the Airbnb
never.
Thing. That's a smart
never
idea.
Never thought of doing that. There's so many of them out here where I live, too. And it's the same idea. People in the Hamptons, they go to the beach, they want to do this, they want to do that. Mm-hmm. Then they want to come back and just, like, hang out with a chef. And it's like, you could crush it out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it can get challenging because, like, you don't always know what you're getting into equipment-wise or space-wise, which is nice when you can kind of find a few that you go back to time and again. Because I know, like, you know, just things like I was at one of them and the people couldn't even find how to turn on the lights outside. I'm like, oh, it's really weird. The light switches in the living room 3, you know, rooms down to turn on the outside porch. But you get to know, like, the kinks about the oven and the counter space and, you know, if they have pans or china you can use. So I kind of like that.
That's great, man. Yeah, I remember when I was doing one-offs, I would do some of those, you know, same houses out in the Hamptons occasionally. I mean, it's that's just brilliant. I'm still kind of in awe of doing it, you know, reaching directly out to the homeowners of the Airbnbs and doing your hand-to-hand combat, as you
yeah,
call it.
Yeah, cut out the middleman.
It's smart, man. That's a fucking smart thing to do.
And then having Chefs Without Restaurants, you know, Chefs Without Restaurants, a lot of people think of as a podcast, but it started as a community, a group. And one of the big things that I really want to do is help other people get gigs and start a gig referral network. So what I've basically created is a funnel where I can then, you know, go to these Airbnb owners and say also, like, just so you know, it's not just me. When you work with me, I'm going to bring you a network of chefs. So, you know, while I say I can do 2 to 20, I also work with caterers who can do up to 200. Or if I'm booked on a Saturday night. So I've built my own sales funnel where Perfect Little Bites is the first referral, right? So I collect all these gigs and then I look at it and say, oh, that's a great one that I, as Perfect Little Bites, can do. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work for me, pass it down the funnel. Who's next? Like, who can I pass this off? Who would pull off a really good gig for these people?
Yeah,
so, so I created my own kind of revenue stream that way.
That's funny. We do that, and you take a little cut for that yourself, I'm guessing, too, a little something.
So I have not yet, but that is the next part. What it's actually going to be is hopefully a chef database where people are paying into to be, you know, not a lot, but just like to be listed. I don't want to start like dealing with the cuts and all that. I just want to make it really easy where it's like, hey, it's $10 a month to be listed in this thing. And then the customer can come right on the website and select themselves, and then they can contact them, and I don't have to deal with the referrals, and I can take myself out of the middle.
Yeah, that's
very so smart. I've been building the database for 5 years, and I have hundreds of chefs already in it. So beta testing some of that right now to see how it works and very how to make cool. it a little more seamless.
We have reminds a smaller JK Chef Collection. Yeah,
Jeffy ran a company that did something very similar to that.
For I a founded while. A company for a while. Yeah, that's what we did, and it was. But we got involved way too much, and I hated it. I always wanted to make it easier. Me and Plum have always talked about doing exactly what you're doing right now.
That's so much work. Because like people will say to me like, oh, can you do a party on this day? Oh, sorry, I'm already booked. Well, do you know anyone? It's like, yes, I know people, right? And then the amount of time where I'm reaching out to people or connecting them and trying to like it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work. And then I feel like I'm somewhat responsible if things go awry, because if I'm personally putting my name on it, you know,
we literally have a group of about 6 or 7 chefs out here that we all work together. And when somebody gets a
gig, don't be surprised if there's a Plum Love Foods Little Bites mock-up.
But
so, you know, like, yeah, I have my inner circle of people who I know really well would pull off the event. And then there's ones where I'm kind of like, they could maybe do, like, I don't want to say the customer, but like, how desperate are you? You know, some people like, I need a chef. It's like, okay, well, I know of this person. I can't personally vouch for them, but like, here's their info.
Yeah. Well, there's always a barbecue Bobby or something, you know, like, hey, you know, come on, buddy, you can, you know, make hamburgers or whatever.
Sure.
Hamburger sandwiches.
Hamburger sandwiches and potato salad from the fucking deli.
Yeah, we have a group of about 6 guys, 7 guys out here that we just kind of share gigs when things come up. Hey, does anybody want this day? Is anybody available this day? You know, and it's funny. It's become pretty helpful because a lot of people reach out now and need chefs. And I think in this day and age, more and more and more, when you hit things like what's coming up with a recession, all this stuff, like I feel like what we do tends to get busier then.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely does. You know, it also like during COVID when people were not going out to eat for, you know, a lot of people for safety reasons, right? Yeah. Like, oh, it's much safer to just have like this one guy come into our house than us to go in this like busy ass restaurant with hundreds of people there.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, for me, it's like where I moved to was super competitive. The chefs here who had restaurants, like, it wasn't friendly and welcoming, right. And I wanted to create an environment of camaraderie and where we could help each other instead of be super competitive. And there's enough business to go around. There really is. And again, I'm one person. Like, I'm booked all weekend. So if someone needs a chef, like, it does not hurt me to pass that gig along. Like, it actually don't understand. You. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm helping that, you know, person who could potentially become a client of mine. I'm helping a chef who will, you know, share the love and send me gigs. Like, it just makes sense to help other people in your space be successful as well.
I love all of that, man. What's next though? So what's next for Chefs Without Restaurants? They're going to
retirement.
build this database, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously something, finding better ways to monetize, you know, I hate the terms like, you know, passive income or whatever, but like, what are the other revenue streams that don't require me going out? You know, like the personal chef thing's tough because I don't have regular clients at all. I'm not like weekly meal prep. So I'm every week like fighting to get gigs and work. And it's like, oh, next week I don't have any work yet. So like, what is that extra revenue stream? And within the group, the thing that makes the most sense is like this group, this database. You know, I've had a lot of people who support Chefs Without Restaurants via like Patreon and, you know, like creator funds and stuff. But what's the next big thing? And that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out right now. And the database is already partially up and running. So getting that going. And it's just like how many people are really interested in doing that. And, you know, with the podcast, I'm trying to work some brand partnerships. So I'm always interested in, you know, big brands that want to work together. You know, I get some ad revenue, which is a nice source of income. But I just want to take some work off my plate doing the kind of small piddly stuff, right?
I wonder if you could even take that idea of having that network of chefs and even take that as well as doing one-off parties and gigs with people, but you could also do it as almost like a, hey, you're a restaurant that needs a pair of hands tonight, and a smart guy, a pair of hands that can handle business and do what they need. You know, we have people, but it's going to cost you X amount if you need a pair of hands. If you're shorthanded, you need somebody, you can reach out to this network.
And one of the things I really want to do is more collaborative dinners and pop-up stuffs, just like for fun. That was always going to be at the core. Do you know Indie Chefs Week and Indie Chefs Community? Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that.
So it started Ned Elliott down at Foreign Domestic in Austin. It was basically, he started like 10 years ago. It was, let's get some cool chefs together, like the people who are kind of under the radar, probably not like the executive chefs, but like the cool sous chefs that people who work in the industry know, and do a collab dinner. And it started with doing like 12 chefs doing a course each on a Thursday, 12 different chefs doing a course each on a Friday, and then like Sunday night, all 24 of them get in the kitchen and put out a dinner together. And the chef stepped away from the restaurant, and I guess he sold the rights and the name to this. And now it's like a touring thing. Like, they're going to be in Philly next month. And I just went to one in D.C. last month. And I just love that idea of, kind of the same thing, but instead of like restaurant chefs, like underground chefs, like people who have food trucks, or guys like me. But just again, just like cooking, because I want to hang out with people and cook with them, because I don't get to cook with anyone anymore. So
I don't have any friends.
Yeah, I know. So we, pre-COVID, I just started getting it running. You know, like a friend of mine and I, we did like a 8-course pasta dinner. We rented out the rooftop restaurant at a hotel in D.C. and just had like fun dinner. Yeah, like the hotel didn't even charge us to use it. He knew someone there, and they're like, our rooftop bar and restaurant's closed on Sunday night. As long, like, the GM just asked for a couple tickets to the dinner. And we just sold tickets through Eventbrite and had 20 people there, and just did really cool Italian dinner with like 6 of the 8 courses, I think, were like handmade pasta, and like just for fun. Like, doesn't even have to be a moneymaker. I just want to get out and cook with people who are cool.
That's awesome, man. How did Bill Murray ruin your anniversary dinner?
I put that in my bio.
Yeah.
So Husk Restaurant, Charleston, South Carolina. I don't know if anyone's ever been.
Know it very well.
Yeah,
been there many times. I trained with Sean Brock, actually.
So, big fan. I'd been to McCready's. My sister-in-law was living in Charleston, and we made reservations to go. And after we had made reservations, it was the year that it was named, was it the best new restaurant in the country by Andrew Knowlton?
Yeah.
Bon Appetit. It had just been announced, and then we realized that we were going to be eating there during restaurant week, which is notably a shit show anytime there's a restaurant week. Although, Sean's awesome, and I had super high hopes, but we go in the restaurant. Bill Murray, who's amazing, is sitting in my section, which is really cool. So he's at the next table.
Awesome.
What that also means is he's going to have 4 waiters, mm-hmm. including like your waiter. And if you're not Bill Murray, you don't really get good service. So that means like getting your first cocktail at 7, and like by the end of dinner at 9:30, nobody's even asked if you want a new one. And when your ice cream comes, they don't bring you a spoon. So your ice cream's just like melting, and you're trying to eat it with a fork and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was like, my wife and I talk about the worst dinner we've ever had. Like, we talk about having better service at like a diner than we had at home. And we had been so excited. It was our wedding anniversary. It's not cheap to eat at a place like that, and we were so looking forward to it. And this was like, again, like back at the heyday, they really had been open maybe a year or so.
Well, did you reach out really to looking them and tell them?
They were super good about getting us like a comp dinner at McCready's the next night. So like, I'm not like a Yelp or anything over and talked to the front of the house manager, who I knew a little bit, like we had already talked previously on Twitter over the years, and just said like, yeah, service was like really disappointing. It was super hard to even get a hold of anyone.
Yeah.
So they said like, I don't know what you're doing tomorrow night, but we'd love for you to come into McCready's. And McCready's has always been awesome. I've known almost all the chefs who've cooked there over the years, and
that's great.
Have had just some amazing dinners there.
Dude, the pig ear with butter leaf lettuce, the pig ear taco. I guess they're mm-hmm. Butter leaf tacos with pig ears. That shit was delicious.
Yeah. I mean, we had some good food when we were at Husk. And then, you want to go over and say hi to Bill Murray, but it's like you also don't want to bug the guys there with like his wife and kids. And
he's fucking your dinner up. Of course you go say hi to him.
Go over and make a big scene, like bang on the table and be like, at least I'm going to get to say hi to you because my dinner was garbage. But when you see like 4 waiters coming over to a table and they all like simultaneously like sync up and put a plate down all at once, and then like some busser comes by and like just drops your dessert on the table. It's annoying.
Yeah, it is annoying. I mean, you should have sat behind him with a cigarette in your mouth, just going, Venkman.
And I think the thing that really annoyed me is like places like that, because I think so many chefs love Sean Brock and so many of the food writers, there's no bad press on it, right? Like everything you read, and I think food reviewing in this country gets skewed sometimes. It's like not a single person out there is saying anything bad about this. Like everyone pretty much says this is like the best restaurant around. And let me tell you, it was the worst experience I had. And I did a blog post on it for my website. And then I was like, that's kind of shitty. And I like took it down. And then I think like 2 months later, I put it back up. I don't know, because I didn't want to be that guy. I felt like it was like writing a Yelp review. I know. But yeah. But
I don't know.
Again, this was like 10, 12 years ago. I was a little younger and probably more brash then. So I wrote it out of anger. And then but you know, Sean's great and I like him. And, you know, I've liked his restaurants. I'm sad that he left Charleston and now you have to go even further down to Tennessee to get his food.
Let's talk about how beautiful the city Charleston is, though, right? How gorgeous is that city?
Oh, amazing. My sister-in-law just moved away from there this summer, like 2 months ago. So I don't know how often we're going to get down there, but we were going every single year and had been for like a decade.
Yeah, I leave for Nashville on Sunday, man. I'm going to be there for 3 days. I'm excited.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. I know the boys have a couple of questions for you, too. Yeah. Man, I've been running my mouth the whole time here, Jeffy. I apologize. Dan, maybe before we get those questions, get this plug out there. Before those questions, get those plugs out there for him. Sorry, I got all mushy out there.
Real quick, though, that's some bullshit. Fuck Bill Murray. You're a customer. Like, you should. No, there's no fucking. Everybody's a VIP. Everybody should get the same service. Everybody should be dealt with the same way because Bill Murray shows up one day. Man, fuck that. All these customers are important. Like, that shit drives me crazy. Like, you should
ever
make sure that
seen a grown man naked?
Everybody. Sorry, I had to get that out there.
Good man.
Check out my man, Chris Spear. Chefs Without Restaurants on IG, chefswithoutrestaurants.com. And his spot, Perfect Little Bites, perfectlittlebites.com. Doing big things.
That's
and he's going to take care of you. He's going to make sure everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. Even if Bill Murray's
everybody
there, fuck that.
Everybody in the club.
Yeah, fuck Bill Murray.
Everybody. He makes the best food.
I would not fuck Bill Murray. He doesn't seem like my style.
It would smell like mothballs, I think.
Oh.
That's just what I think.
Probably
sorry.
Scotch. I bet he drinks scotch.
You think so? What was he drinking, Chef? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember. I could barely even look over them. And then, you know, like my wife's kind of annoyed because it's like it's our anniversary, right? And I keep looking. She's like, he's just another guy. I'm like, it's Bill
fucking
Murray.
Bill Murray.
Like, how could I sit here and eat this like fried chicken skin buffalo wing thing with Bill Murray's like right over there? I'm trying not to. And I guess it's not a big deal. Like, he lives down there and is like, you know, I guess he's a regular there. And people are like, oh, it's just like another day. Bill Murray's in here all the time. I'm like, if he's in here all the time, why is he getting like all the service?
He's there every time. He's a regular there because he gets 9 servers every time he goes. I'd go back too.
True.
Shit. All right, Jeffy, so the floor is yours, my friend. I apologize. I've been talking a lot.
No, please. I interject loudly. It's fine. I would be remiss if I didn't talk to you about Scrapple Dip. You know, shout out to Scotty Scrapple Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Over at Mac Media. He's a good friend of mine. He's from down that way.
Friend of yours.
Pennsylvania. Friend of ours. Sorry. talk to me about Scrapple Dip.
Hurtful.
Ooh,
that is
yeah.
Hurtful. That is shitty.
I have a whole bunch of attitude about Scrapple Dip. One, the deliciousness, and two, the fact that McCormick stole it and pretended it was theirs. But where do you want me to start?
Both. Talk about what it is.
Tell us what it is. So
I didn't grow up with. Do you know? Everyone know what Scrapple is? Like baseline.
Yes, we do. Okay.
Love
Let's
it.
Assume
what do you
that
tell
listeners
us?
Don't. Yeah. So let's explain.
You
what
know,
it is.
I had to explain to my kids the other day why it's called Scrapple. It's made from scraps. Usually, you know, pork, right? And it's. Mm. Organ meats, all the stuff you don't really want. It's like the heart, the kidneys, the liver. There might be some anus in there. Like they just take everything
there,
left and they boil it up with some cornmeal and then let it set. And then you buy it that way. So it's already like everything's pre-cooked at that point. And then you just slice it up and I like it nice and crispy. Some people like to, you know, put a little flour on it to get extra crispy and do it in a pan. It's delicious. So kind of like a sausage. I don't like too much liver in it. Like around here, some people will say it's Scrapple and it's really liver mush. And then you heat it and it just like slacks out and it's like runny
tastes like
liver.
Pennies.
Yeah, that's not my favorite. But, you know, as a chef, I think I hated waste, food waste, and, you know, working in a place where you have a hotline, like a retirement community, there's an opportunity to have a lot of waste. So we would have scrapple on the menu for breakfast, and it, you know, it took a little time to cook, and my cooks would always say they couldn't cook it to order. They had to cook it ahead of time. So they would, you know, batch, you know, they make a pound or two at a time, and every time they made it, they'd like take this pan with like 5 or 6, 7 slices and throw it in the trash. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, it's cooked scrapple. Like, we can't do anything with this. I'm like, challenge accepted. Like, we're going to see. And one day I just took it back and I threw the half hotel pan on the counter back there. And then we were doing something. And it was like one of those Reese's peanut butter cup moments. Like, we were prepping out some Maryland crab dip for a party, which is, you know, like cream cheese and cheddar cheese and mayo and all this stuff. It's like an Old Bay. And I was like, what if we just, like, not for the party, but like, what if we just took the crab out and put scrapple? And my cooks are like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, like, what if we like took the scrapple and pureed it in the food processor with some cream cheese and mayonnaise and cheddar cheese and hot sauce and Old Bay, and then broiled it up like it was crab dip, but with like scrapple that costs $1 a pound instead of like $40 a pound crab. And that's how it was born. And it started as kind of like a joke, you know, like sometimes those things that end up on staff meal that end up actually on the restaurant menu.
So that
was one of my recipes. And I tell people, like, you don't even need the recipe. If you have a recipe for like Maryland crab dip, just pound for pound, ounce for ounce, take out the crab and put in scrapple. But
wow. Okay.
I blogged about it. I posted it up on social media. It's got Old Bay in it. And then I don't know. People can steal your stuff all the time and you don't see it. But there was it was right before the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and there was a blog post, and McCormick sponsored it and put it up, and they said 50 dips from 50 states. We want to pick a dip from every single state, and they didn't know what to do for Delaware. I wasn't even living in Delaware. This was like Maryland, right? And they called it Delaware Scrapple Dip. And I looked at it and was like, what the fuck is this? Like, like, you can say there is nothing creative left in the world, but nobody in the world had made damn scrapple dip before that. And they changed like one slight measurement on there, and then they put it up on their website like it was theirs.
Yo.
And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, if you Google scrapple dip, you're going to find like two recipes. You're going to find McCormick's, or you're going to find mine. Or you're going to find it on like one of those like all recipes websites.
What the
fuck?
But then the more annoying thing is some woman literally wrote the book called Scrapple, and she included that recipe in the book.
Stop
citing
it.
McCormick as the creator. No, there's a woman who wrote a book called Scrapple, and the recipe's in the book. And nobody will answer me about this. And I kind of subtweet.
Jeffy, let's find out who she is.
We're getting her on the podcast.
Yep.
We're going to have you on.
Yep.
We're
going to fucking sidewinder.
And it's just one of these things where, like, I'll just like get on Twitter and be like, hey, it's National Scrapple Day. It's also the day I like to remind you all that Amy so-and-so put this recipe of mine in her book without fact-checking that McCormick stole it. And like nobody will ever answer my tweets or even respond to me. And it's, you know, it's kind of upsetting because McCormick's here in Maryland, and I actually know a few chefs who work there, and I'm pretty sure they're people who are like Facebook friends with me and probably saw it and just thought they're gonna be real slick. And I don't know, even though I sound really angry and aggressive here, I'm kind of non-confrontational, and I've never reached out to them to say like, hey, I have a question, like, are you the one who saw this recipe on my Facebook page and then stole it and pretended it was yours?
Chef, here's the good news. You got new friends now here in the boys of Plum Love Foods.
we are
confrontational. Oh, we can't wait.
Right.
We're getting all of them on the show.
Like, just check the dates. Like, my website is like 2014. Like, dates don't lie. Like, find it anywhere in existence prior to 2014. And I want the story. How did you create Scrapple Dip? You guys think you created it? Awesome. Tell me the origin story.
Absolutely.
How you did something so weird as to taking Scrapple and basically making Maryland crab dip with it. You don't have a story. But
if we can get NASA on the phone to be on this fucking podcast, we can get McCormick's or that fucking weird writer, Jeffy. We got to get her on for our brother.
So that's my story. I'm sticking with
it. The book is called Scrapple.
If you just, her name, I think, is Amy something, and I could find it. Like, there's not that many books on Scrapple. There's like two books on Scrapple.
All right, Chef.
For real.
So, if we get her on the show, will you come on here with us? We'll do all the talking.
Absolutely.
Hell
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's go.
Scrapple by William Boys.
I'm doing this.
Tell her you want, I mean, I want to listen to a whole podcast episode about Scrapple anyway. So,
well, we'll do a whole episode with her.
Amy Strauss.
Amy Strauss, that's her. She will not answer my tweets about how that recipe ended up in her book.
Amy Strauss, we're coming for you.
Listen. We'll do the whole episode with her, and then at the last 10 minutes, we'll be like, so we got a question about this recipe in here. We're bringing in an expert. This is Chef Chris Spear. He's a Scrapple expert, and we're going to talk about a Scrapple dip on page 347 or whatever.
What I think, you know, again, what I think is really so annoying is because I felt like it was the first unique thing I'd ever done, and I actually had been in conversation for it to be published in a publication. And then once it kind of like came out that like, oh, well, someone else kind of has this on their website, then it looked like I was copying them. So that was annoying. But I really felt like when they say there are no new recipes out there, and this was something that I felt was like super unique, that literally I couldn't find any reference point anywhere in the world.
Whoa.
That like it was the first time that like I saw that someone took something that I felt was mine. And, you know, nobody, if you had said like, hey, this is really awesome, I'd love for it to be featured on our website, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Just attach my name to it.
Dude, we're doing this. This is just understand. Remember, you said yes to this. Like
I said yes to this. I'm yeah.
Just the deep end of the pool. I'm just giving you the heads up.
people who know me know that I'm kind of salty about this whole Scrapple Dip thing.
You should be.
You should be.
We like you a lot, so we're going. Yeah. They're gonna meet the Danimal here. Dan, tell him.
Yeah. Fuck that lady. Fuck her and Bill Murray.
He's gonna bring up Bill Murray to her. He's gonna blame your Bill Murray dinner on her too. You watch. Yeah. She's gonna bring that shit up.
We got so many hot takes here tonight.
How we roll,
Dan? Any final questions before we get Chef out of here?
Yeah. Real quick, I'd like to get into the other things aside from food. You had mentioned Marvel and Star Wars earlier. I'm just curious what your outside hobbies are outside of food. Like, what do you like to get into? What is your passion outside of food?
Anything in the arts. You know, I love going to museums. I love checking out art. I can't draw or paint or anything like that. Photography is one of my things. So, you know, just going out like with a bunch of different cameras and camera lenses and taking photos and doing that's really cool. I love music. Like if I could go to a concert every single night, I would be at a show. Excited for live music to be back after not going to shows for like 2 years. Oh, yeah. I think I have, you know, a dozen shows I already have tickets for this year, this summer. Yeah, and just, you know, hanging out with the family and introducing them. Like I said, my kids are now old enough that I think they can do fun, cool stuff. So exposing them, took my son to his first concert a month or so ago, hoping to share that kind of stuff with them.
Who'd you go see?
I went to see AJR. They're kind of like a trio of boys, like poppy rock, okay. But not in that like Hanson way, yeah, you know, stuff okay. that I was into. I'm taking them to see New Order and Pet Shop Boys later this summer, so I'm kind of excited for that.
Going old school.
Yeah, that's kind of my jam.
Frederick, Maryland. I think of like bands like Clutch, one of my favorite bands of all time, is a very Maryland band.
You see, I grew up in the Boston area, so I kind of grew up in the like Boston alt rock kind of scene in the 90s. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, brother, we appreciate you taking the time to come hang out with us, man. And like I said, it's
definitely.
The show stinks. I don't know why anybody wanted to be hang out here, but they do. I don't know. It's
because it's late. I mean, what else are you going to do at like 10:30, 11 o'clock on a Thursday?
That was not a good answer.
I was going to say because we get great guests like Chris Spear.
That's it.
No, I mean, I seriously, I could not find better hype men. So you guys definitely will be
energy,
hearing
dog.
From me. Yeah.
No, well, listen,
some podcasts are really slow and boring. This is not one of them. You guys have the great energy. You got the great show. Super appreciative of coming on.
You're awesome, man. Thanks. If we could do anything to help you in the future, please reach out. You're awesome. We'd love to have you back on again sometime. We do a lot of round tables.
We'd love to
cook
together sometime, man.
Hey,
let's try to get into an event somewhere. That'd be super fun.
Thinking about that,
Hook
too.
It up. I will come up your way.
My man. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, the creator of Chefs Without Restaurants. Let's hear it. For our new friend, Chef Chris Spear.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate your time. We'll see you down the road. And there he goes. That dude's awesome.
Love that guy. Definitely. What a great hang. I just say he was saying so much stuff that we talk about in our personal life all the time. Like just like about connecting chefs and not really wanting to take money and making it easy and like how to monetize. I don't know, man. Just a great guy. I feel like we met another good brother.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I really appreciate that conversation. Dan, where can we follow him and get more information on him?
Chefs Without Restaurants on IG, on Facebook, chefswithoutrestaurants.com. And his catering business is Perfect Little Bites and perfectlittlebites.com, where he does all his personal chef stuff. He'll come to your house, hook you up. Something real nice.
So, Dan, when you hear a guy like him talk, does it make you want to stop your job and go private?
Sometimes, yeah. I can't lie. I mean, there's I've done it. You know, I've done my own thing where I've cooked at people's houses and stuff. Yeah. And it's definitely something that's interesting. I love the – I actually kind of like the idea of just being alone. I'm personally – sometimes there's too many goddamn people around me. I'd rather be alone.
You should be alone more often. That's the problem. See?
That's just me. I'm like – he's like, oh, man, we're just – I'm just by myself in the kitchen. I'm like, man, that sounds fucking fantastic.
Well, shit. Well, listen, we appreciate him. Thank you, Chef, for joining us on the program. Chef Chris Beer, Chefs Without Restaurants. Make sure you check them out. Yeah, everything. Jeff, any final thoughts before we get out of here? Oh, I know something we got a final thought about. The dive bar. Dive bar is going to start here in about 5 minutes.
I was just going to say that. I would say, 5 to 7 minutes.
On Instagram Live.
Or we can just do 11:30. That's 11 minutes.
It's too long.
So, well, there we go again. It could be 5, 7, or 11 minutes. But tune in to the Dive Bar on IG Live.
The Dive Bar, IG Live, Plum Love Foods Live. The boys will be hanging out, talking a little bit of nonsense there. Looking forward to it. Big shout out to our guest tonight, Chef Chris Beer from Chefs Without Restaurants. Love hanging out with him and talking to him at Perfect Little Bites on Instagram. What a good brother. Yeah, seriously, enjoyed that conversation a lot, gentlemen. For Chef Jeffy. I'm sorry, Jeffy, you got somewhere you want to add before I sign off?
I was just hyping. Yeah!
Could you sign us off, Jeffy? Could you do it?
Could I do it?
Yeah, I mean, you do the whole sign-off thing, you know, all that bullshit.
Listen, remember everyone.
Wait, I'm not ready yet. I'm just, that was a, could you do it?
I'm pretty sure I could.
All right, are you ready? I'm gonna give you the, I'm gonna play the music for you, and you're gonna hit it, all right?
All right.
All right, here we go. Go.
Remember, everybody. Food is the most important thing, and it will.
No, none of that was
that
right.
That wasn't it. I lost it. None of that was right. I was gonna say something.
You lost after three words. Remember, everybody. Food is the most. Nah,
Can I try? Can I try?
Yeah. Let's let Dan do it.
All right, Dan's got this.
In the meantime, in between time.
No, Dan. I haven't played the music yet.
Oh God damn it! All right.
I mean, you're excited. Let me just.
I got excited because I know it.
He's been practicing. It sounds like Dan's been practicing.
All right. Here we go, Dan. You ready? And here we go.
Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, I'm Chef Dan. In the meantime, in between time, food is the most important life, thing in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Nerves.
Listen, you got to hit the post, and the post is Macho Man.
You know what it is? I didn't understand the words he was saying.
I know. He was not. He was like mumble rapping, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, he was doing what I do when I don't know what I'm going to say. Like, oh, what was that, Dan? Those weren't words, bro.
The best. All right, my turn. It goes like this. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. We'll see you next week. Peace.
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey's.
All right, now Jeffy's turn.
What happened to the in the meantime, in between time?
I don't always say that.
Oh, okay.
I was going to let Jeffy go. All right, Jeffy, whatever the outro is what it's going to be. Here we go. You gotta start then because you're running out of time. Like you gotta jump right into it.
I know, but I just can't do it. You put me on the spot. I get nervous.
Here we go, Dan. Get him.
Dan's
in
better.
Time, in between time.
No, Jeffy.
Food is one of the most important things in life.
You're rushing. Slow down. Food. Slow down.
In the meantime, in between time, everything in life. Give it the respect it deserves.
Tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky.
All right, not bad. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. That's what you were. We give him a secret to our entry and a
power. Power of power.
All right, no, for real. We're going to do a real outro here. Who's going to do the real one? Me, Jeffy, or Dan? Who's doing it?
Since we can't get through it, it'll be another 30 minutes. Good thing I pushed the dock part of 11:30.
It's a Heineken,
Heineken mom.
All right, here we go. In the meantime and in between time, friends, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.